If you're if I'm not big into movies, but recently we like to watch some of the movies that are origin stories. Like you have, I don't know if y'all keep up with this or not, but Marvel Comics has you ever heard of mutants? Right? And then all of a sudden they got like Wolverine's story of origin. Sorry. Some of the guys just every once in a while smile or something like I don't know what I'm talking about. All right, good, good, good. Aaron said amen. But anyway, I was thinking about, do you have an origin story with Jesus? Do you? Do you? Now listen, there's a big corporate church meeting here this morning. We have everybody here, we're here to worship corporately in Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's an awesome thing. But do you have an origin story for you? Are you individually, do you know Jesus Christ? Peter knew him. Peter got to know him because one day in Luke chapter 5, verse 3, and we're going to kind of go through his origin story, a story of what Peter, what it looks like to be saved through Peter's eyes, but also ours. Luke chapter 5, verse 3 says, "And he entered in one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship." Verse 4, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." Verse 5, "Simon answering and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Amen. Peter, at this point in his life, if you were to ask him, what kind of net's the best net to fish the Sea of Galilee, he would tell you in a heartbeat. "Oh, you need this kind of gauge net. You got to have them cleaned every day. You got to hang them just right. You got to put them in the boat and out of the boat. At the end of a long night of fishing, it's good to clean your nets, get them prepared for the next trip out." Amen? "You got to take care of them boats too, son. You got to patch them when they get a hole in them, because if you let it too big of a hole in a boat, that boat's going to sink. Hey, you need good oars too, good strong ones." Amen? "Made out of gopher wood. You better have a plan in case you lose an oar, because you don't want to be up the creek without a paddle." Amen. Before Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee and got in his boat, called him to be fishermen of men, Peter could have told you everything about fishing. He was passionate about fishing. He had made a business of it. Him and the son of Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder, had a corporated business. Multiple boats, multiple nets, multiple people, multiple families involved. They had a business. They were serious about it. But when Jesus came by one day, they were serious about following Jesus instead of fishing anymore. Amen. They still loved fishing. They still could go fishing, but that was not their passion anymore. Amen. Let me ask you a question. What's your passion now? Is it still what it was before Jesus met you? I mean, could you tell somebody about every kind of car there is? Uh-oh. Could you tell somebody about every way to farm some ground? Could you tell everybody how it is to race a car? Could you tell everybody how it is to hunt a deer? Could you tell everybody how it is that the Super Bowl is going to go tonight, how the game's played, who the players are? Could you name every, my God, can you name everybody on the football team, but you can't name any of the books of the Bible? Woo! Can I preach? I'm just telling you, where Jesus meets you, guess what? Your passion and your desires will change. You'll begin to want to talk about Him. Your people will say, "Man, I know he used to love fishing. I know he used to love football." You can still see some of the passion, but he's in love with Christ. He's in love with Jesus, and he's incorporated that into his life as much as anything else. Because every origin story with Christ starts like this. One day, I was lost and undone. And Jesus came by my life and he got in my boat or my vessel. He got in here. Amen? And now he's the captain of the ship. He's the captain of my life. That means when he tells me to do something, I don't get to argue and disagree with him and tell him I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to go do what he wants me to do. I made it a point this morning not to preach really about the Super Bowl, because I'll be honest with you, I really don't care if you love football or not. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be here worshiping God. And if that's what you want to do, fine. If not, fine. I'm not going to wear you out about it, but I'm going to tell you right now, guess what? Today's God's day. It is. And guess what? One day, hey, I love sports. I am a fan of sports. I love to play sports. I am learning at 43, going on 44, that I'm not always going to be able to play sports. Amen? But I can tell you this, without a shadow of a doubt, I'm always going to be able to worship Jesus. I don't care if I get down to the point where I can't even walk, talk, or do anything in my mind, because He has created a new mind in me. Even in my mind, I can worship Him. Because in August 28th of 04, one day Jesus came by, got in my vessel, and He said, "Hey, Kevin, if you don't mind, will you cast out a little bit deeper? Because you're living in the shallow life. I want you to get in the deep life with me." Some of y'all are still living in the shallow life. You're still trying to do it your way. Have you had an origin story with Jesus? Did it start about like this? One day He got into my boat, and I didn't deserve Him to get into my boat. But now since He's in my boat, He's just running my life. God's got a distinct way of getting in your life, and when He does, He just kind of takes over. And you notice what He said? Master, I love this part. Master, we've been doing this all night long, but at your word. Amen? See, some of y'all call God Lord or Jesus Lord, but you ain't let Him be the Lord. He's got Lord title, but not Lord ownership of your life. Control, authority. No, I'll say it again. I want to say that better. Y'all all right with that? See, some of y'all are calling Jesus Lord, but you're not giving Him lordship or authority over your life. You give Him a title with no office. You give Him a title with no control. Because have you remember in the scripture it says this? It says, many will come unto me in that day and say, "Lord, Lord." Uh-oh. "Lord, Lord." Now, this ain't a skittish bunch. "Lord, did we not go to your house? Did we not pray in your name? Did we not cast out devils in thy name? Did we not teach in your name? Did we not..." You mean there's going to be teachers and preachers that don't make it into glory? Yes. You say, how can these things be? Because Jesus' name is powerful. Our name's not. Even somebody who preaches it out of the wrong way can see some power out of it. Amen? Let me stay right here. I want you to get this. But the ones who say, "Lord, Lord," and let Him have lordship, because I'm going to tell you right now, when God's in control of your life, when you say, "I'm going to do this," some of you men, help me out right here. When you say, "I'm going to do it this way," and you take two steps and God says, "No, you're not. You're going to do it totally opposite," and you change your mind and your will and you do it God's way. Then guess what? Guess who's in charge? God. Because I told my wife sometimes, I said, "This is what we're going to do, honey. Mark it down." She's like, yeah, okay, whatever. I go in the next room. Next thing you know, I'm praying and I'm seeking the Lord and I'm reading His word. Next thing you know, God says, "You ain't going to do it that way. You're going to go totally opposite of that, and you're going to do twice, just not even close to what you're planning." Okay, Lord. You know why? Because I have found out, it took me a long time, but I found out God's way's better every single time when it don't even seem like it's better. So there's an origin story with Peter. Hey, let's look at another time in his life, another origin part. Jesus, look at this. God stretches you out over things that used to sink you. Let's go to Matthew 14:29. Y'all don't mind if I preach a while, do you? I didn't think so. I don't know why else would you come. That's funny to me. People hurry and rush to get to church and then want to leave. Amen? Matthew 14:29. And He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Golly. Never mind. I guess y'all just walk on the water all the time. Sorry. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Y'all remember this story? Hey, I was thinking about this earlier in the week when I started getting this on my heart and my mind. Do you know that Peter was a fisherman, right? He spent most of his time in the water. Did you know that? I wonder how many nights he spent on the water looking at the water and going, "Man, I hope I don't fall in that. I hope a storm don't get so bad that I fall off in there and drown. I make my living out of this sea. I catch my livelihood out of this. I hope I don't ever fall in there and die and drown. And then God calls him to be fishermen of men, and the next thing you know, God puts him in a big old storm. God, I could preach this. Listen, Jesus fed 5,000, not counting women and children, and then sent his closest disciples into a storm, and he sent everybody that was full away. Have you ever seen that happen? Have you ever seen somebody just talks about how good God is? Oh, God's a blessing me. God's knocking my socks off. God's so good. And they walk off and they're just fat and happy and just doing everything. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. And it seems like God's just directing you into a storm every time you turn around. Get in the boat, boys. Y'all are going over there. But the crowd's going over there. The crowd's huge. Look at them, God. They're doing great things. Hey, they're having fun. It looks like we're going into another storm. Yeah, because I make my disciples in the storms alive. Amen? Because some of y'all sitting here wondering why bad things happen to good people. I'll tell you why bad things happen to good people sometimes, because they can handle it. Because if God sent a storm through some of your life, you'd run away and curse God and not show up anymore. Or, I know it's a big crowd. You'll run a crowd off with a message like that. I didn't try to get you here with sugar-coated cotton candy messages. I just want to tell you about Jesus. Sometimes he'll send you into a storm. You know why? Because he's going to train you how to go through storms of your life where you can help when people are going through storms in their lives. About during the third watch, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning when they're wore out, Jesus come walking on the water. Man, I love this story. Peter, James, John, and all the 12 apostles sitting in this boat, and Jesus walks up. Walks up on the water, man. At first they were like, hey, there's a demon out here. Oh man, he said, don't be afraid, don't fear. It's just me. It's I, just me. Standing on the water. No. He's still making them fishermen. I'm standing on the thing that you're scared of. I'm standing on the thing that defeats you. I'm standing on the thing that you've always been afraid of. I'm standing on the thing that you've always thought would be the end of you. Some of you, that's drugs. Some of you, that's pornography. Some of you, that's lying. Some of you, that's family history. That's some of y'all, that's heart disease. Some of that's cancer. Some of y'all think the end of you is going to be something on this earth, and the end of you is sin. The beginning of you is Christ Jesus. See, they were dying. If God didn't show up, if he didn't intervene, they were going to die of drowning. They were going to drown. But Jesus walks up on the thing that they were scared of the most. Water that night. He's saying, I'm standing on the thing you're afraid of. And listen, I'm standing on something I shouldn't be standing on. God's standing on water. Water ain't supposed to be letting you stand on it unless it's frozen and then it's slippery. But in its natural form, when water's just flowing, H2O, praise God, it's not a solid, it's a liquid. It ain't supposed to hold you up. But God is God, and he's in control of the things that's not supposed to happen. Well, it runs in our family. It killed everybody else. You're predestined to be that way. It's going to happen to you. Pray. Shut up, man. You know the family I run in? His name's Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The one that said, hey, he spoke life into me. That's my family line. I ain't never going to die. Man, I can't wait. Y'all wait. Hope it ain't tomorrow, but I hope some of y'all come to my funeral. Because when you come by that box, if my wife and my kids have got a sad face on their, you tell them to get that off there, because I ain't in that box. I mean, this is just a shell, friend. I'm carrying around a spirit man in here who's been born again. And when I draw my last breath, I'm going to see Jesus. I ain't worried about it. I'm walking on the things that used to drown me. See, God's let me walk on some things that used to destroy my life. Things that I used to be afraid of, God let me walk on it. Amen? And as long as I keep my eyes on him, I'll continue to walk on it. When I don't look at him, I'll sink in it. Step out here, Peter. I want to show you something. Now, I know all them other 12. We do this. We're bad. We're bad about Christians. We're bad. Peter sank. I don't like that. I don't. I know he sank. Hey, man, that's right, Aaron. You're preaching now, brother. He stayed up a while. Amen? I'd rather be the one who got on the boat and tried to walk and sank than the one that sat on the boat and criticized. I've got so many people who will tell me how to do my job, but praise God, none of them want to do it. Brother, I didn't like how you did it. Well, hold on a minute. Here, let me give you this mic. Oh, no, brother. No, I'll pray for you. Amen. Go ahead. Hey, it's only 52 weeks out of the year. Come up with a sermon every Wednesday and Sunday night. Sunday morning. Come on, brother. You want to jump on in? You can do a better job. It'll change your prayer life. I know that. You want to walk in the Spirit? Well, hey, God will have you walking over things that He used to drown you. Now, actually, there's 7 points to this message, so and God added one right before this because it's relevant. So I'm going to add one, John 6:68. John 6, verse 68. Bible drill, let's go. Y'all don't mind, do you? I'm about to break out in a sweat anyway. 668. Y'all there? Pages are turning, I hear them. That's an awesome sound. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you go away? Will you also go away? Oh, this is going to be good. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are suffer that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Woo-hoo, glory. No, y'all ain't going to believe this happened. Jesus, listen, he had some disciples following him. Disciples, not just some casual followers. So Jesus turned around, and he knew it was getting hot. What I mean by hot, he knew it was getting, there was some pressure coming. And he knew some people in their hearts. See, he knows your heart. So you can say that to yourself, he knows my heart. See, you look good on the outside, but God, he don't care what you look on the outside. Some of y'all clean up real good, but you're a mess on the inside. Amen? God knows your heart. See, look, this one right here, he turns around and he knew he was going to get hot. And he didn't want to go through some stuff with some people who were going to quit on him anyway. God, Jesus is the most radical person I've ever seen in my life because we want more numbers and he wants real numbers. I'll say that again. We want more numbers, he wants real numbers. He wants real people to be with him. He don't care. I got this many. No. He goes, I want the ones who believe in me because when it gets hot. So he turns around and he goes, do any of you want to leave? Because it's going to get hard. You're going to be persecuted beyond measure. A lot of them left. I'm out of here. We love you, Jesus. We'll be praying for you, brother. Here's my favorite. We'll be with you in spirit. Who came up with that? I'm saying. But he turns and he looks at his 12. Now listen, I'm preaching to you. You better hear me. Jesus turns and looks at his 12 and goes like this. You guys ready to go too? You ready to leave also? You ready to get out of here? You ready to go? Man, do you believe Jesus did this? This is to Peter, James, and John. This is to some of his main guys. And he challenges them like this. Hey, do you want to leave too? Man, golly, I wish y'all let me preach right here on this. God will challenge you sometimes, and He'll give you an out. Man, we would never do that. Well, come back. Please stay with me. Right? I don't care how toxic you are. I don't care how crazy you are. I don't care what you're doing. Just go with me. Jesus said, y'all want to get out? Time's good. Get out. Go on. Listen, God sometimes will give you an opportunity to walk away and do whatever you want to do. Man, this ain't popular preaching, but I want you to hear this. But if He's got in your heart and your life, you're going to answer the same thing Peter said. Where would we go? Listen, I'm being honest with you. I want to cut you right down to the core right here. Listen, I don't even know what I'd do without Jesus anymore. I've lived so far with Him now. I've got so far out on a limb with Jesus. I've walked out so far out. He meets every one of my needs. I love Him so much. He's in my heart so deep. Where would I go? I mean, I wouldn't even know what to do. Somebody tomorrow said, you'll stop preaching, stop going to church, stop doing this. I mean, I would literally be like, man, I don't even know. I don't even have an identity. I don't even know how I would go about life. I mean, He breathed into my life. What would I do? Peter answered a perfect answer. Where would we go? We can't go back to our old lives. They stink. God, anybody in here saved? Or 16. Amen. When you get saved, your old life dims. I mean, it becomes dim. I mean, it's like looking at something. You're like, man, I used to think that was the most awesome stuff in the world. And then I got Jesus, and that life went dark. And this life is so amazing. Some people say, man, you ain't got no life. But see, the problem is, if you're not saved and you're looking at my life, you'll think I don't have a life, but my life's hid in Christ Jesus. See, I'm going to my long home. I'm going to heaven. So I don't get to live in all the lustful, fleshly things here, but I'm headed to glory where I'll live for eternity. This is but a short time. Golly, I love that walking on water, don't y'all? Water got together and held Jesus up, and then it got together and held Peter up. He learned a lot that day. Don't take your eyes off Jesus or you will sink. Some of you in here, you think you're strong and you'll never fall. You'll fall quicker than you think if you ever take your eyes off of Jesus. Thank you, brother. That's the truth. Verse 4, Jesus knew you would fail when you wanted to stand. Mark 14:66. God, I don't even like bringing this up, but I'm going to. Amen. Has anybody in here ever failed Jesus when you didn't want to? Yeah, be honest. Everybody, right? Mark 14:66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the handmaidens of the high priest. And when he saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said unto him also, was this Jesus of Nazareth? And he denied, saying, I know not. Neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they stood by, said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began, oh God, 71. Can y'all say this? Can y'all handle this right here? But he began to curse and to swear and saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said to him, before the cock crew twice, thou shalt deny me thrice, and went thou thereon, and he wept. Whoa, glory. Hey, do y'all remember the conversation he just had with Jesus not long before this? Jesus told him, he said, it ain't going to be long. They're going to come and get me, and they're going to take me. And you know what? Do you know what Peter said? If they take you, they're going to take me too. Where you go, I'll go. Where you die, I'll die. Jesus turned around real quick and said, nope. He said, the devil has desired to sift you, and I'm going to allow him. God, nobody likes a sifter. You know what a sifter does, James? A sifter, what it does, it gets the impurities out. But it's not a good process. It's a rock'em sock'em process. It throws you in the sifter and begins to sift. And the big lumps or the hard lumps or the things that don't belong, they remain in the sifter, and the pure stuff comes out the bottom. Amen? And the pure stuff comes out the bottom. See, that's what God did to Peter. He said, I'm going to allow you to be sifted. I'm going to pray afterwards, though, that you'll help the brethren. Peter's rocking on. I'm going to go with Jesus. I don't want to fail him. I want to live for him. I want to serve him. I want to do great things for him. You're going to, but you're going to be sifted first. Peter goes in there. Next thing you know, they're in there warming their hands. And Peter, and they're over there about to crucify or come up with a plan to crucify Jesus. And Peter's over there warming himself in the heater. And a little girl comes up and says, aren't you one of the disciples? No, get away from me. I don't know who he is. Again, no. Your voice, the way you speak. You're a Galilean. I'm pretty sure I've seen you with him. No. No, it gets real good. No, look, you're one of them. I told you, blankety blank, get out of my face. Y'all don't believe me? It said in the Bible, Jesus swore. He swore. He made it clear. I don't know what you're talking about. You get out of here. They're like, well, no, he's not a Christian. He don't talk like one. Amen. He didn't talk like one right then. He must not be. He didn't want to fail Jesus. Matter of fact, just a few minutes before that, he tried to cut somebody's ear off. He pulled a knife out and cut it. Somebody said, man, he cut that dude's ear off. He wasn't aiming for his ear. He's a fisherman, not a sword fighter. Dude, he was aiming for his head and hit his ear. That's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. The last miracle that Jesus did on the face of this earth was healing a man that was coming to take him to the cross. Malchus, amen? The high priest's nephew came, he slaps his ear off. Now listen, that's got to be a guy that has a real hard time when Jesus is being crucified. Because all of a sudden your ear's laying in the dirt. And they're trying to take Jesus into custody. And Jesus is like, hold up, boys. Peter don't know no better. Hold on. Go ahead, Malchus. I got something to do. I got to die for your sins. Hey, man. I bet you $1 million all the way through the crucifixion. He's sitting there going. Now, I know the ear came off. And then the ear's back on. And that man touched my ear. But they're trying to kill him. You know what should have else gave it away that night? When they first came to Jesus and they asked him, they said, are you Jesus? And he said, I am. Do y'all know what happened to all of them? They all fell down backwards as if they were dead. I hate to preach like that because we're in a church where you say something like that, they go, are you speaking radical? I'm just speaking Jesus. I'm sorry. But could you imagine a whole military garrison of about 100 people from the temple guard all of a sudden laying flat on their back, having to get up and dust themselves off? Do you think any of them looked at each other and said, maybe we've got a hold of something that's bigger than us? Maybe we're holding something that's just meek. And he's letting us take him to the cross. Some of y'all need to figure that out. Jesus didn't go to a cross because somebody took him. He went to the cross because he wanted to die for your sins. It was his passion. See, God, come on, help me preach right here. I ain't felt the Spirit of God like this whole service. Check this out. Could you imagine when they were leading him back to the temple, all of them holding the chains and maybe holding him, making sure he's locked up, or going, God, I hope he don't do what he did when we first met him, because he might just break the chains and destroy all of us. It seems like we've got a lion here. They did, the lion, the tribe of Judah. Remember? Are you him? I am. Every one of them fell backwards. And they got up and they're like, oh gosh, this guy's powerful. But he went to that cross and he submitted himself to that death for you and me. Amen? And Peter wanted to live for him. He wanted to strive for him, but God knew he was going to fail. Amen? That's why in 2 Peter 5 and 8 he writes, he goes, the devil is a roaring lion going to and fro seeking whom he may devour. Amen? Because he knows. Said, Peter would tell us today, he said, don't you ever underestimate the devil. Don't ever underestimate him. He's a roaring lion. He's a killing machine. Yeah. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. Don't ever think yourself too big. Don't ever think of yourself as too powerful, because he'll wear you out. Because I told Jesus, I won't never fall. I'll go with you till the end. And you know what? I couldn't even make it one night. I couldn't make it through three chickens crowing. Amen? It gets better. Amen? God wanted to throw you, he'll take you over your biggest mistake. Go to John 21:15. Even though you made the mistake, he'll give you an opportunity, right? Opportunity to fix it. John 21:15. Let's jump down to 17 for time's sake. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all these, that thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Here's Peter's origin story. He denied Jesus three times that night in the temple. He's sitting there and he goes, I don't know him, I don't know him, I don't know him. And he's warming his hands over a fire made with coals. Amen? This man told me at the Wild Game Supper, there's only two times in the Bible that a fire made with coals in the New Testament is spoken of. And this is one. And the other one was when Peter was in the temple room warming his hands over a fire made with coals there too. So Jesus recreates a scene for him. He comes up to the shoreline and there's fish being cooked over a fire made with coals. And then Jesus starts asking Peter some questions. Peter, you love me? Yeah, Lord, I love you. Once. Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Twice. Peter, do you really love me? And his heart got broke. God, you know my heart. You know I love you. He goes, good, feed my lambs. He He goes, you've been totally restored. You know that mistake you made over there in the temple where you denied me three times when you were warming yourself by the fire? Guess what? Right here in front of this fire, I've gave you three opportunities to accept me, and you have. And I know your heart. You do love me, and you're fully restored. Go feed my sheep. Your destiny ain't changed. Your life ain't changed. Nothing through your failure changed. Only thing's changed is now you're restored, and a minute ago you weren't. Some of y'all think y'all have done so much so bad that you could never serve God. Yeah, you can. All you got to do is come up here on this altar and say, God, I love you. Amen. And then he asks you to do your, I love you, Lord. Yeah. God, do you really love me? Yeah, get busy doing what I called you to do. See, God didn't save you. He didn't change your life, or he doesn't want to save you and change your life for nothing. He don't want you to sit idly by and let this world pass off into eternity. He wants you to get busy because everybody in this room has a sphere of influence. A sphere. That means you have an opportunity to witness to people that I'm never going to see. Amen. You're going to see people that I'm never going to talk to. And it's up to you to live for God in that manner. Amen? Can I show you something really cool? So he gets his life straightened out. Let's go to 2 Peter 3 and 10. It's all the way near the back of the Bible. The last thing Peter would write before he dies. The last letter. Do you know if God changes your life and you allow Him to save your soul, allow Him to change every part of your living life that you're a living testimony or you're a living sacrifice to Him? Do you know if you do that, you'll have a life that lasts past your living days? You'll have a life that continues to feed people way after your past. It's 2017, right? Peter's been dead for a while, ain't he? Well, guess what? Peter helped me this week when I read this right here. 2 Peter 3 and 10. He says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and this in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt away with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Amen. You know what Peter just said? I'm about to go to heaven. This man I've been preaching about since the day of Pentecost. Y'all know Peter got Jesus showed out on in his life, right? On the day of Pentecost, Jesus blessed Peter to become the small corner, the small rock of the church. He was the cornerstone, but he became the leader. He stepped out on the day of Pentecost and preached Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected. Do you know what happened next? 3,000 people were added unto the church. Just right after that, Peter again preached the gospel in open air, and 5,000 people were added to the church. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So Jesus showed out in his life. Well, down here at the end of his life, Peter helps us out and says, listen, the Lord's coming back like a thief in the night. You don't know when he's coming, but he is coming. So what do you do? If you think there's a thief going to come to your house, there's some things you do, right? You prepare for a thief. I've got some preparations for some. Amen? I've got a door lock. I've got a deadbolt. And I got a 357. Amen? And some bullets that go in it. Amen? That's just I'm prepared. In case a thief was to come in at night, I'm prepared for him to be there. And oh God, some of y'all are in here like, I can't believe the preacher. Why don't you just pray him out? I will. I'll pray for him. Amen? Sorry. I ain't going to get into that. I want y'all to hear it. I'm talking about a carnal thing. I'm going to talk about a spiritual thing. Jesus is going to come back that same way. You got to be prepared. Amen. How do you get prepared? Number one, you get saved. Number two, you get busy. What do you mean? If you want somebody to find you doing what they called you to do when they saved you, you want them to find you busy. I will not mind at all if God takes me home or comes and visits when I'm doing the work of God. That's why I'm going to stay busy doing the work of God, because when He shows up, I don't want to go, oh God, I can't believe you caught me doing something else. Amen. With all the time that I have, some of us are going to be ashamed. Some of us say we can't pray, but let me see your social media. Someone said, we ain't got time to watch. Well, let me see your Netflix. Have you binged out on an episode of anything lately? I had you all right then, but now I'm losing friends like nobody's business. Some of y'all high up, some of y'all are like, that ain't me, brother. I don't watch the TV, that one-eyed devil, and I don't do that thing. Yeah, but let me ask you this. Have you kept up with the news lately? Have you read them newspapers and you ain't read the Word of God? Oh, brother, you ain't got me yet. You ain't hit me yet. But maybe you go down there and you'll meet up with your friends down at the old restaurant and talk about everything under the sun, but you won't never talk about Jesus. God, have I offended everyone yet? Hey, listen, you got time to serve God. You've got energy to serve God. You've got ability to serve God. Listen, Peter warns us right here. Listen, you've got a limited amount of time. God's going to come back as a thief in the night. You better be ready. Can I show y'all something that I've just learned recently? Can y'all handle just one more point? One more point. Can I, all you young people, can I get one more point? Amen. Nobody back here saying amen. I'll do it anyway. Everybody, take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 22. And this is why it's important for you to get saved. This is why it's important for you to be prepared. I've seen this. I've never seen this before. And some of y'all are smarter than I am, and that's okay. But I just want to show you something that's really neat. Hey, does anybody know what a love letter is? Well, I don't even know if they do that anymore. Does anybody know what a love text is? Okay. This is God's love letter. It's 66 pages, 66 books, right? But he wrote one letter at the end called Revelation. It's Revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's revealing at the end times that Jesus Christ is going to come back and take the church that belongs to him, and he's going to put it in glory, and it's going to reign forever. And those that don't belong to him, he's going to put them in a place called hell, and it's going to be torment for eternity. Are you okay? Now check this out. Now, if I was in the dating, if this was a dating thing and my bride was gone or my bridegroom was gone for a while and he wrote me a 66-page love letter and the love letter had an end to it, I would always go to the end and see what they said because usually that's where all the good stuff is. But in Revelations, this is all the stuff that hasn't actually happened yet. All the other parts of the Bible have happened. Y'all got it? But the one we're in love with, Jesus, speaks four times in the last part of the letter that he wrote to us as believers. He spoke four times. Y'all good? The one who loves your soul and wants you to be saved said four things in Revelation 22, the last thing he spoke to the church before, the only book that we have, okay? You know what he said? Check this out. In verse 7, he says, "Behold, I come quickly." Hello? "Behold, I come quickly." Verse 12, "And behold, I come quickly." Have you got the point yet? Well, if you didn't, guess what? Verse 20, "Surely I come quickly." Do you understand the gravity of what I just told you? I used the origin story of Peter, right? And at the end of it, he helped us and said, Jesus is coming as a thief in the night. Right? But then Jesus speaks in Revelation, the last letter, and he said, "I'm telling you something. I'm coming quickly." If you're not born again, you're not saved, guess what I hate to tell you? God's coming quickly for you. And some of you in this room saying, they've been saying that for years. Yeah, but people have been dying for years too. And I want you to know one thing. You can ask the oldest person in here, I don't know who it is, but if you ask them, you'd say, "How's your life went by?" And they would say, "Too fast. Yesterday I was 20. I can remember not long ago I was 6 and I was playing in a mud hole and I was happy." Amen? You hear me? My life goes by just like a vapor. And guess what? The Lord told you, he said, "I wrote you a letter and I told you that I'm coming quickly." Listen, I don't know why you came to Flat Top Independent Church today, but I want to tell you this, it was no mistake. You're sitting here because I want to tell you right out of my mouth, right here, right now, God's coming back for some of you very quickly. You better be ready. We're not promised not one more day. You didn't show up by here by accident. You didn't come by this church because somebody asked you. It's because God wanted to tell you one more time again, because He loves you so much, that He is coming back quickly. You better prepare your heart. Do you have an origin story like Peter? Can you remember a day where Jesus got in your boat? Could you remember a day when he caused you to walk? Has he ever showed out in your life? And do you have a life that's worth passing on to the next generation? Or when do you die, would it all be about you? Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation. If God spoke to your heart, don't wait one more minute. Step out of these pews and come and pray and seek the Lord. If you've never had an opportunity where Jesus has changed your life, if you've never, ever, ever accepted Jesus Christ, it's this simple. You come up here and you say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for the sins I've committed against you, and I want you to be the Lord of my life. That's a simple prayer, but that's all it takes. And then you look for the change in your life. The absolute change in your life. And you say, what if things don't change? You come back to step one and do it again. Come back to step one and do it again. The Bible says, well, you believe in this? I said, listen to this. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You work it out with God. You work it out with God. I hope today at the end of this service somebody will say, I have my own origin story. The day that Jesus got in my heart and life and changed everything. If you want to come pray, come pray.